Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like,
whatever, dude.
Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand.
You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
Weekend to you and welcome to Wiggins America. I have to admit that there is one thing I'm really bad about doing in this show, and that is responding to your messages and tweets and any sort of feedback that you are giving me about any topic or the show in general. And the reason for that is I will get back to you. If you message me on Facebook, sometimes it takes a couple days for Facebook to tell me that you've messaged me if we're not friends on there or linked in any way. So that's the platform's fault, but I'll respond as quickly as I can. Certainly on Twitter X, I will respond as quickly as I can on there, and I see those pretty quickly. That's the best two ways to get a hold of me if you have feedback on anything. However, I am terrible about talking about those things on the actual radio, and I'm sorry about that because it's a week in between when I get to talk to you from Saturday, Sunday through the next Saturday. And sometimes I forget. So I apologize for that. But there was one message from Lawrence last week that I want to address because I opened the show last week talking about taxes on unrealized gains. Now, this is a ridiculous concept that even people left of center would say, you're going to tax unrealized gains as in money I haven't made yet? Yeah, that's the idea. This was put forward by the federal government under Joe Biden, and they never really, really went forward with it, probably because they were going to have a lot of legal problems getting it through, but they would try anyway, and they were trying. But then they got voted out of office, and the whole thing died, and now they're trying it in certain states, or at least they're floating the idea again in states like Illinois. I don't know whether they're going to fully try it. I do know that the governor, J.B. Pritzker, has been floating a whole lot of ideas, usually pretty zany ones, to fund the government, and they all involve more taxation, not any cutting of spending, as you would expect. I mean, that's what a Democrat would do. And so here we are talking about unrealized gains again. Well, Lawrence got on Facebook or Twitter and messaged me and said, hey, but aren't property taxes a form of unrealized gains? And I said, oh, shoot, that's true, because I was talking about how they kind of sneak these things in. You will disagree with it in philosophy, but they'll go, yeah, but we're only going to tax millionaires. We're only going to tax people above a certain threshold. And Lawrence said, no, actually, they're already doing it to you through property taxes. And that's a topic we've talked about before on this show, where property taxes are a tax on unrealized gains, because they're saying, hey, you bought your house a few years ago, maybe a long time ago, and it was worth this. But now we say it's worth this, even though you haven't realized that increase in pay. You haven't sold the house. So let's go way back and say you bought it in 1980 for $100,000, and now it's worth $750,000. Well, you haven't made any of that money until you sell that house. So that's a tax on unrealized gains. Every year they reassess and say, here's what we think it's worth. Now you have to pay this much. Very, very true. Thank you for pointing that out, Lawrence. And for all of the other comments that I'm sorry that I'm not directly addressing here who have mentioned the show in the last week. Really appreciate all you guys. I really do. And yes, I do respond to them individually. Sorry, I'm not directly responding to all of them now. But I wanted to mention that one simply because there's a news item attached to it. And that is that Florida has finally voted to get rid of property taxes. Now, there's a lot of caveats to this, of course. I'll read from the Fox Business article. It says that Americans continue to flee high-tax blue states for lower-tax destinations like Florida, as Florida lawmakers have just passed what supporters describe as a major win for economic freedom. Moving to provide long-term property tax relief for residents, the Florida legislature has cleared a historic DeSantis-backed, which means he'll sign it, constitutional amendment for the November 2026 general election ballot. So voters still have to approve this in November, that could eliminate non-school property taxes. So it doesn't affect your schools, is how they got around a lot of this, for many homeowners through a proposed $250,000 homestead exemption. So if your home is worth that or less, you would not pay property taxes, nor would they go up because they wouldn't exist. Other than maybe on the school's part. I'm not sure if they would go up or not, or if they'd be locked in. Quote, I think it will be particularly appealing to people leaving the Northeast and other high tax states who are evaluating where to establish permanent residency. The state already wins on weather and lifestyle. Tax policy simply becomes another advantage in an increasingly competitive relocation landscape, said Douglas Elliman's Nick Malonsky, of Fox News. That is a complicated title. I've said before, last thing I'll say on this subject is that the only real argument that I could find against it, and this is not in principle. In principle, there is no argument against it. But if you implement this thing fully, which they kind of are, you know, piecing it, they're not fully going on, you would cause people to not want to sell their house ever. If you locked it in at one spot, you would want to stay at that spot for a long time, so people would become less mobile. And that's not always good for the economy, and it's definitely not good for opening up first-time homebuyer experiences. But in principle, we got to lock that in. This is Wiggins America. Short break here. We got Trisha coming in this hour. It'll be fun.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Well, this should be fun. Marco Rubio is, in my opinion, the leading candidate for president in 2028. Now, a lot of people would say that it's J.D. Vance, just by the association of being the vice president. And I like J.D. Vance, but I believe that Rubio probably has the best chance of winning in 2028, at least right now. I mean, a lot of things can change. And a lot of people are talking about that. I think the sort of Republican establishment likes him better than Vance because Vance is a little more MAGA. But the thing is, if you're going to piece together a coalition, he also can pull more of the middle voters than Vance probably would. Because after 4 years of Trump, you know, Trump motivates Democrats. So if you have somebody Trumpian, you're going to have somebody who motivates Democrats to vote more than somebody like Rubio, who is not really moderate, but he's just very smart and calm. And for that reason, whenever I hear Democrats talk about him, they talk about him favorably, but they go, but why is he associated with the Trump administration? So anyway, point being that I think he can pull in all of the Trump voters, and he can probably pull in a lot of independent sort of centrist voters, and he wouldn't motivate Democrats to vote against him as much. It'll be after Trump's getting out, so Democrats will already be motivated. But I think, you know, you're just talking about like 1 or 2% here in a couple states. It makes a big difference. Anyway, point being that I think Marco Rubio is probably the leading candidate for president in 2028. Democrats know that, so they want to try to find sound bites. They want to try to pierce his armor, basically, because right now he looks really good. And part of that is because he's a freaking smart guy. He knows a lot of stuff. And you can just tell when they bring him in for these hearings on Capitol Hill that it kind of backfires. So they did that this week. I don't even know, honestly, what the reason was. Probably about Iran, something with the security forces or something like that. The committee that runs that side of things in the House, I think, was in charge of this hearing in some way or another. But you get all these randos that step up to the plate and go, I'm going to take a shot here. And they try to make themselves famous and come up with sound bites. And it's all with the purpose of knocking Rubio down a peg. It just doesn't work. And so I'm going to play for you this sound from Rubio versus somebody named Sidney Cumlager Dove, a Democrat representative. And I really almost wish you could take this clip, because they just talk over each other like crazy. I wish you could take this clip and change the voices to voices you wouldn't recognize, because you're going to recognize Rubio and you'll recognize Sidney from just being the woman in the clip. I almost wish you could make it to where it was two voices that that were distinct, but you couldn't tell who was saying what. So you could walk away from the clip going, okay, here's who I think made the better points and who won that little exchange, without having any preconceived notions, because it's really obvious to me that Rubio walked away looking way, way smarter in this one. You tell me what you think. I'll play the whole thing.
Because you have said these things. You have shared these talking points before.
They're not talking points, they're the truth.
But it is hard to take your word for it when this is the most corrupt administration in American history.
Well, that's
your talking
opinion.
Pardons for sale. We're talking about no-bid contracts to those on Trump's family and friends plan. We're talking about a $1.8 billion slush fund. And I think that's corruption. The American people think that's corruption. They want to know if you think that's corruption.
Okay. Number two, this goes right to the point of transparency. You're absolutely wrong about the way the money flows. It's pretty straightforward, and I'll share.
Oh, I'm going to have to reclaim time again, because
the question about corruption,
it's my time. The question about corruption
is
really
time?
Important.
So why am I here if I don't get to answer your questions or your defamatory statements?
I'm reclaiming my time,
reclaim,
Mr.
I want
Chair.
You to, but I want to reclaim. Well, do I get time? Because you make these defamatory statements and no one can talk here.
If you can't call out corruption in this country, then how can you call it out in another
country? Well, I can't
country?
Say anything because you won't let me speak.
That is the question. It is about credibility and your credibility. And your credibility meter is on empty right now.
These guys just get to talk and I don't get to answer?
Who determines the barrels of oil that get sold?
What?
How
but you
many
won't
of
let
them?
Me answer your
what
question.
Price
I have an
it
answer
it
for
sold?
Your question.
Where is it going?
Oh, I get
I will
it. They
let
have
you.
To use their time for me to answer
the
your question.
The onus is on you to prove that there is no corruption happening.
Well, how do
that
I prove it if you don't let me talk?
That is your responsibility as the Secretary of State. And you know what? Normally we would have access to that data. That's the
you
transparency.
Do. You just don't know where
but
to look.
But you're not showing us any receipts. Well, then show us. Do you commit to coming back here with whoever the person is who is monitoring the sales of the oil? Bring them before this committee.
Can
show
I reclaim
the receipts.
My time?
Have the documentation. You don't have this time yet. I am talking about your credibility and evidence, not your talking points, because talking points are never a replacement for transparency.
I agree,
and
but that's what you're saying. You're saying talking
and
points without an answer.
We are 5 months into this and no audits. Zero visibility into the contracts that are
false.
Awarded.
100%.
Unfortunately, Representative Stein's expired.
Going.
Representative Salazar is recognized.
Yes. And giving contracts with no transparency is exactly the reason
answer?
Why you shut down USAID. So practice what you preach. I yield my head.
Oh, she gets to scream now too?
Chairman,
scream
can we take down her words?
I'll give you some time. I'll give you some of my time. Let me just
okay.
Just
but God, what kind
energy.
Of thing is this? What is this? You get asked questions for 5 minutes and you don't get time to answer. It's not a hearing.
I think you said clown
like
show
like a dunk
before.
Tank? What is this?
I don't have to tell you. I don't...
I've even used their time. How can I answer the question? They don't even give me time. I've had to use their time to answer your questions.
Yes.
All right, whatever.
All right, so I don't need to tell you that in my community, the city that I represent, the city of Miami, you're one of the most illustrious representatives, and that we're very proud of you, not only the Cuban Americans, but the Hispanic Americans in my
Why is
community.
She leaving? So, I'm going to answer her questions.
I will...
Oh, she's go. Okay, I got it. Well, thank you for coming.
Entertaining, isn't it? And that's kind of the point. I mean, that's what these hearings have become, is just entertainment with the purpose of sound bites. The thing is, all these hearings that are going on, Besant was on Capitol Hill this week getting grilled. Somebody else just recently, it wasn't RFK, although he does a good job too. Somebody else. But I was looking through the clips. Oh, yeah. It was somebody from Ohio, a Democrat, defending Somali immigrants from Brandon Gill in the House. And he was asking her simple questions, and she was making herself into a victim instead of asking or instead of answering the questions about Somali fraud in her state. But anyway, my point being about all of this is that, and one of the reasons I played that is because, yes, it's sound bites. Yes, we don't all have time to sit there and watch all these hearings all day. But when you hear the sound bites, the vast majority of them, I'd go as far to say 80 to 90% of them really make Democrats look bad in them. Now, you get your 10% or so that once in a while they'll get in a zinger and that'll make the news feed. But for the most part, Democrats just don't look good in these, whether they're the ones asking the questions or the ones being asked the questions. They're not coming off well.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Trisha is here, and I got one big question about the company before we get into the topic here.
Ooh, can't wait. Hit me.
We have these things called Odyssey points.
Yes, we do.
That you're supposed to send to your coworkers when you feel like they've just done a bang-up job.
Yeah.
And you have to send out an email every month.
Use them or lose them.
That says to everybody, hey, you got to send out your points. So it becomes sort of a burden instead of something that we all are like, oh,
no,
yeah.
No, it's super fun to send an email Odyssey points.
You love doing it.
I love it.
The problem is people end up sending their points to you because you've reminded them.
Yeah.
Are you just point farming?
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned this off the air about point farming, and you can only send 10 points at a time.
I don't like that either.
So people send them back, but I need to include my note, like, if you're going to send these to me, send them in multiple chunks. I'll take 10 and then, you know, wait an hour or whatever.
Because we can send multiple different people, right?
Yeah. You can send them to whoever
you want.
But me, if you send them to me, then I can collect them and buy cool stuff for the office.
What are you right now dreaming of buying with your Odyssey points?
So there's a really cool coffee mug warmer.
Oh, keeps your cup hot.
Bluetooth speaker. I feel like we could all use that
in
a radio station.
That's actually a nice little gift.
There's a really, actually a really nice backpack that
we can
all share.
Is it one of those string ones?
No,
those are crappy.
No, this is a nice one. Lots of different pockets for your laptop,
North
your
Face?
Folders. No idea. Odyssey. No, it's cool. You you use them or you lose them. So I pulled the short straw in sending the email. And
follow-up question, why haven't you ever just sent me your points? I send you points all the time.
Because I actually send my points to people that I think deserve my points.
That's why I'm asking. Why are you not sending them to me when clearly I'm doing a great job?
By the end of the month, I don't have any left to send.
I have you on my radio show.
Thank you for that.
Thank
you
for...
I think that's like twice this year.
You're right. It's not that often.
It's June.
But that's your schedule, not mine. I have a real topic here. Mm-hmm. And first, I have to ask you to get into this real topic. Why did you choose the name that you chose for your baby?
Family name.
Okay.
And I thought it would be really cute to have a baby Bernie.
You're right. It is cute to have a baby Bernie.
And a little bit silly, but also very unique.
Were you trying for something really different? Because that seems to be the thing now. Like, you almost have to give your baby a name that works for the algorithm.
I think that I lucked out because I like traditional names.
I do too.
But I also didn't want my baby to have the same name as six other kids in his class.
Yep.
And he kind of does if he goes with his legal name, but my husband had a really cool middle name and happened to be a junior. So Bernie it's actual Bernard is his middle name and I can call him Bernie, but he's the third.
Oh.
So we already had an Eddie. And now we have a Bernie.
So that is your baby's first name, though, Bernie.
Middle name.
No, it's his middle name.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's a third.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So it's a nickname, really.
He got a unique name. He'll go by that. I guess at some point he can revolt and be like, this isn't the name I want. And I can be like, okay, choose another one.
I will
one.
Be Edward now.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. You do you. But
like if a Twilight reboot happens later. And he's like, I want people to be on Team Edward.
That guy, yeah.
He could be like, that's me.
So to answer your question, I wanted something unique but traditional, and I kind of lucked out with that.
Okay. Did you know that there are names that are illegal to name a baby?
No. Although I could probably think of some words that you shouldn't name it.
That was my question. Can you guess any names in the U.S. because it's different across the world? And some states have laws that other states don't.
Anything that violates the FCC. So the George Carlin words.
That's a great start. Yeah, anything that's profane, you can't name your baby. In most states, there's really not a lot of federal laws about this, but a lot of states will have the same laws about it. So yeah, that's a good one. It's a very good one. Anything that's like a cuss word, you can't name your baby. Although that line's a little blurry, but anything that's like a clear cuss word.
The FCC rules are a little blurry, too.
That's true, too. Yeah. Because, like, I think I can say ass if I'm talking about a donkey. But can I say it if I'm talking about my butt?
Not if you're talking about a specific part of your butt. You cannot.
The crack?
What's in the crack?
Any other guesses as to names you cannot name your baby?
No.
Butt crack is not one of them.
So you can name your baby
Well,
butt crack.
I think you get some pushback. But I think it's not
from
illegal.
Who? Like, what's that conversation? You're in the hospital. You just had a baby. You're like, this is my baby butt crack. And the nurse that walks in is like, are you sure? And then you're like, get out. Like, this is not your baby.
I think that you have to just be ready to fight. Like, this is my baby butt crack. And you all can just shut your mouth right now.
But does that fight stop at family or does hospital staff step
in? I think they probably step in and maybe bring you a counselor. But I don't think they can stop
you. So then you got to fight the counselor, too?
I think so.
You should have home birth.
Yes. Yeah. Full water home birth. And then your baby butt crack. And you live
just live
a happy
happily
life.
Ever after. Yep.
Nobody has to get involved. Yep. Homeschool. Any other guesses before I tell you the list?
No.
Illegal baby names. One, baby.
What?
Baby / infant is illegal in all states. No kidding.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Because there's lots of, you hear that in movies, people be named, like nicknamed baby, but you can't legally name your baby baby. And that is every state in the union. Some of these are not every state. Like no name.
Oh, you can't name your baby no name.
No name
slash. That baby one surprises me.
Me too. Me too. Because that seems like it could be an actual name.
Mm-hmm.
No name / unnamed. That is illegal in every U.S. state. Here's another one that's illegal in all states. Test. You're just filling in the blank with words.
Why is that illegal?
I don't know. It just says it would be flagged by the Social Security Administration system.
That seems like something that would screw up their computer system, and they just don't want to deal with it.
I think that's what it is.
Which is, okay, fix your system then. If I want to name my baby Test.
Mm-hmm.
Then that it shouldn't be my problem that you have a problem with coding that in your system.
Right, right. You know what you could do is be like, well, I named him Testo, like, and be like, it's a Latin name. But I don't know. You could add like just a word.
But I don't want to.
You just want to name Test.
Yeah.
The next one, void. Same issue.
It's
basically like
these
saying.
So this is all, we just need Elon Musk to come in and fix the Social Security computer system.
Okay, here's what's crazy. You didn't even know what you were stumbling upon there. The next one on the list is only illegal because Elon Musk tried it. It is the weird Latin letters XAE and A12 and these weird, you know, like he tried to do those weird baby
what's
names.
What's his kid's name? It's something strange.
It's something like that, but it's like a character that's not a real letter.
How do we say it?
I don't remember, but it's illegal in California only. So he was able to name his child XAEAXII or whatever that is. I think it's like a Latin character, but just you can't use it in California. But because it was legal in another state, I think California had to say it's legal. Like you can't tell a different state's baby what you can do there. So he was able to do it. Three.
Why?
Or 1069, or literally any number. And this has been tried a few times.
Only three, if you use numerical characters.
Yeah.
But I could write the word out three.
Exactly. So this was tried in North Dakota, I guess not that long ago. A guy named Michael Dangler tried to...
Michael Dangler at it again.
Tried to change his name to 1069, the numbers. They told him, no, you can't unless you spell out 1069, which is exactly what happened to Chad Ochocinco. Remember that? The football player? He tried to change his last name to the numbers on the back of his jersey.
Oh, is that why his last
but he
name
had
was
to
that?
Spell
I remember the name.
Yep. He had to spell it out because you can't use numbers as a name. Messiah. It's only illegal in certain states, though.
Interesting.
Yeah. That seems weird to me. Uh-huh. I mean, that's it's like Tennessee and traditionally very Christian Bible Belt states. You can't name your kid Messiah. And then anything other than that, like an at symbol or just weird things that aren't Germanic characters.
That mess up this computer.
That mess up the freaking computer.
Yep.
Now, there's other random ones like King. You name your kid King in Arizona. You can't name your kid Doctor or Judge in Arizona because they consider that a title.
Yeah, but those are also, I mean, I know people with those last names.
Well, Judge Reinhold is a famous actor, so it's clearly legal to do it in other states. Mm-hmm. But in Arizona, they say, no, it messes up the system of like Mr. and Mrs. You know, you can't, I think you could name your kid Mr. and Mrs., but you can't do Doctor or Judge because it's a title. Santa Claus.
That's just like confusing, like it's misleading only, to people.
It's apparently only illegal in Utah because some guy tried to do it in Utah and was told no, and then the case ended. And they just said, well, it confuses children. That was the court's
was that
opinion.
It? So it is confusing.
Yeah. But then the guy tried it. I don't think it was the same guy later in Ohio. And they said, no, you can't name your kid or you can't change your name to Santa Claus. And he took it to the Supreme Court and they overturned it.
Yeah,
and said
I
you
think
could.
You should be allowed to name your kid Santa Claus or change your name to Santa Claus.
I do too.
First and last name or is it all first name Santa Claus?
I don't know the answer to that. I think it's probably first and it says that he wanted to be named Santa Claus Porter.
Yeah.
So three names.
I don't know why that would be problematic.
I don't either. Yeah, it's just you'd be Santa Porter. Nobody's using your middle name. Well, unless, like, you're you, because you use your kid's
or
middle
you just
name.
Go by Claus.
Or just
yeah.
Go by Mr. Claus or Mr. Porter. He's still Mr. Porter, right? The last couple is one of them you already said. Anything obscene, you can't name your kid. Anything that's too long. In most states, you can't go past 30 characters. Because it just messes up the computer system, just like you're saying.
Card. They're like, we can't, sorry, man. Yeah, I can't do that.
Nope. And the last one, the one that I thought that you would go to first and everybody's mind would go to first, Adolf Hitler.
Mm.
But it's only in one state. You can name your kid Adolf Hitler in every state except New Jersey.
Why New Jersey?
I guess. And it says it technically isn't banned fully in New Jersey, so you could try it. But a family tried to name their kid Adolf Hitler Campbell, and they immediately lost the custody of their child.
You guys are just bad people.
In 2009.
It's not funny.
Technically not illegal, although you're going to face problems. Uh-huh. So, after all that, have you changed your mind?
What happens if you are born in a different country and you immigrate here legally, but your name is one of these do not fly list.
I think that you are, unless you have characters that don't comply with our Germanic character system, in which you'd have to change them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, if you have a tilde over your name, if you live in Latin America, or you have the two dots over your name, if you're in... You know, the Nordic countries. I think you have to change it on legal documents here. And that may change the technical pronunciation of the way you would say it. But I think that you basically get grandfathered in no matter what. A couple of them in Europe.
So there's the loophole.
That's what Elon Musk did. He just named his kid that mm-hmm. in a different state, and then California had
in a different state. I'm talking like go out of the country. If you're going to name your baby Hitler, go somewhere else, come back.
I think you technically could do it in the United States though.
People just don't like
it. But you couldn't. Name him Test unless you were in France. And you're like, well, that baby's Test. They're like, oh, I guess you.
You can't do anything about that.
Just a couple real quick. You can't in Europe though. You can't name your kid Nutella.
So if I want a Nutella baby, I have to name the baby Nutella in the States.
Right.
If I want a Test baby, I have to name the baby Test in Europe.
There's some crazy ones in Europe. Monkey, Stone, Hitler / Osama bin Laden.
That's fair. I mean, it's fair just because it, like, come on.
People. But how about these? Superman, Metallica, Elvis, and IKEA.
I'm certain that there are going to be like kids in Bernie's class named Stone, first of all. That feels like a name that's like
it's very, a rock star name.
Yeah, that people would use now here. Huh.
But do you now regret not naming Bernie Nutella or Superman?
A little bit.
Or baby.
Yeah.
Go all the way, and I'm going to show everybody that I'm their mayor.
All right, you're ready for a very pratty summer. Spencer Pratt will be one of the nominees for Los Angeles mayor, and just by virtue of being in contention for the mayor of Los Angeles, just the same way as New York City works, we're going to be hearing about it, and he is doing a great job of drawing attention to issues that are not just specific to LA. Now, the fires are. The Palisades fires, are. That's like a very, very local issue. But all the rest of the stuff he's talking about is really stuff that it could apply to any major city in America that's run by Democrats, which is 95% of cities in America. So that's what's great about Spencer Pratt. He's not going to win. He's not going to win LA mayor, because what's happened is the blue areas, blue cities in particular, and blue states entirely have gotten smaller and bluer. Because Republicans have moved out. They have left the cities. They have left the states with bad business policies. Sometimes it's social stuff, too. Like, if you don't want your kids learning about certain sex stuff in schools and, you know, things like that that get passed in states like Illinois. But for the most part, people move based on business climate. And that's why people have left, mostly Republican-leaning or libertarian middle people, have left blue areas, because Democrats are just so bad at running cities and so bad at running government. They don't get it. And that's the thing, is that it needs to be pointed out that it's not even that all the dumb social stuff that Democrats do, you know, it's Pride Month, so you're going to see every freaking Democrat mayor on the front of every newspaper they can find, taking pictures with like trans parades and stuff and whatever they can find, because that's the social stuff that they do. But that's not the reason that the cities are struggling. It's not the social stuff. It's crime, but it's not even the source of crime. It's that crime drives out money. It's that crime drives out business. And it's as if Democrat leaders can't figure out that they need to attract money and business into where they are, whether it be a state or whether it be a city. Certainly you can see it from cities, that people are just leaving cities because they're not safe and all these other things. But the tax climate, the business climate, everything about it is just antithetical to moving money into the city. And I just am surprised that Democrats haven't figured that out, because they could have their cake and eat it too, in a way. They could do all the kind of really radical social stuff. Like, Tashara Jones was wasting money on trying to provide people with abortions if they live in the city, providing transportation to areas outside of Missouri. This was during the Roe versus Wade fight, that would provide abortions. Like, that's just ridiculous stuff. That is a total waste of time and money, but they could pander. They could do that and get away with having a good business climate, and it would work, because the money is really the point. But they don't. They actually don't know how to run finance at all. They don't know that you need to attract. And so all the money is moving into suburbs, and it's moving into what I talked about with Trisha and Annie before on the Annie Fry Show. A little bit, I think we've talked about this. They're moving to these like collar cities called exurbs, where they're not quite attached to the major metropolitan area, but they're close. So they're not quite suburbs either. You're talking about cities like, the best we could come up with here would be something like Wentzville. Or if you go into the Illinois side, it would be something like Highland. But Illinois is tricky because it's a blue state. So it's more like what's going on in Missouri. O'Fallon, Missouri is booming. You know, people are moving out to like Troy and St. Peter's. You know, that's the areas that people are moving to because they're good business climates for growth. Because even just building new buildings, you don't want a lot of regulations on them. Otherwise, it costs too much. And that's what LA is running into right now. They're trying to rebuild a whole lot of buildings, a lot of very expensive houses, and they can't do it because of all the red tape in just bureaucracy, for one, but then all of the regulations that they've put on new buildings. It's really hard. And it's hard to do that for anybody, not just companies, you know, just to build a house. So anyway, all that to say, it's going to be a very Spencer Pratt summer. And let me just conclude on this. Electorally, we've discussed these things before, but the fact that people are moving out of these cities, and it's really Republican-leaning people moving out of the cities, moving out of blue states, has tremendous electoral consequences. We're starting to see that wave come through, but we're not fully on the crest of that wave or in the wake of that wave yet. It's just sort of like the surfer's just getting on the surfboard and just starting to feel that wave out. So you can see it happening, and we're starting to see the results, and we're starting to see how cool it'll be. But he's not quite hanging 10 yet. Like, we're real, real close to it, though, within probably 2 years to 4 years of seeing the full riding the white wave of Republicans. The white wave isn't intended. I meant like the froth of the wave. Riding the Big Ten wave, right? So the way that this is happening, again, I'm just concluding here, we're almost out of time, is just that Republicans have moved to Republican states and more like conservative areas. So you're seeing blue states become bluer, like Illinois. And that's why you're just not going to see Republican governors really win. Sorry, Darren Bailey. I'd love to see you governor, but it's just not going to work because Illinois is becoming bluer because Republicans are leaving the state. That's happening to every city and every blue state in the country. They're becoming bluer and smaller. The reverse is happening to every red state. They're becoming redder and bigger. And so, sorry, James Tallarico, in a state like Texas, they keep thinking Texas is going to be in play, but Republicans are moving to Texas. So all those people that are moving there, they keep going, ah, don't bring your liberal policies here. They're not. Those are Republicans, mostly people moving to states like Texas and Tennessee and the South and Idaho and, you know, Montana, these states that in some ways, like Montana, would have swing senators in the past. That's a thing of the past. It's not going to happen because you have more and more Republicans moving to those places, and they're getting bigger and redder. That stuff has major electoral consequences, which we're starting to see. We will definitely see after the 2030 census. This is Wiggins America. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.